really, when we come and we don't expect, a lot of times we're almost told by society, if we have low expectations, it's better that way, because then if nothing happens, or not, we're not disappointed. I can't be the only one coming to church expecting, because if it's just me and not you guys, it's like I'm dragging the ship myself. You know, because I have days when I'm like, you know, we all need to come together. And when we come together in expectation, it's amazing what can happen. Now, I'm going to try to sum up some events of the past couple weeks. Going back to last weekend, while we were at district conference, and we'll talk about the shooting at the movie theater later, a fire broke out down on the Niobrara River Valley by my in-law's house. And you can kind of see the results of this fire. Now, Jessica and Rylan were down here. Now, hold, stop right there. Go back one. Jessica and Rylan were down there. We had the little girls with us, but they were staying at the house with Ian and Brendan. And we got some calls, and it was getting close, and then it wasn't, then it was. That's how close it got. That's Tom and Karen's little garage. The house is right there in the trees. The reason it stopped is because a fella came down with a tractor or a caterpillar and dug a trench to stop the fire from Matt Brown, stop the fire from getting any farther. Go to the next one. I don't know if you can see the hill there. It's black because, well, it's black. The fires weren't near as bad as the ones that are farther east of Valentine, but this one had five volunteer fire departments working on it. And our kids, seven volunteer fire departments, including ranchers and people with shovels like my daughter, fighting fires and trying to save people's homes in this area along the Niobrara down south of Merriman. So we're thankful. We were praying. We were concerned about our kids. But we prayed and we expected good things, and everybody's okay. And there's still some smoldering wreckage around there, but we're not the worst for wear. Back up a week. Two Sundays ago, we went to Omaha. This is Thanay Tu. Thanay is from Thailand. Well, he's really from Burma, which is now Myanmar. But his group, the Karen people, were displaced from Burma by the Burmese army and ended up as refugees in Thailand. A bunch of these young adults that live within this community of Karen people, spelled K-A-R-E-N, send their young adults to Job Corps in Chattern, of all places, to learn English and job skills. And we've been blessed by Thanay and his bass playing skills. He's a mean, mean man on the bass. Well, he graduated from Job Corps. I haven't seen him for several months. And we told a lot of the Job Corps kids, when they had a break and they were going to be back in Omaha, we were going to come down and visit their churches. And so we visited Thanay's house that morning. Go to the next slide. And this is his sister, Thalay, and his girlfriend, Paula A. So we have Thanay and Thalay, and of course, Elena. The next page is Paula and then Thanay's brother, Thanu. So we have Thanay, Thanu, and Thalay. They also have a brother, Thalu. I know it, and I'm sure, you know, it's hard to keep them straight, but we had a good breakfast with them that morning. Thanay and Thanu's father, Kalo, he pastors the church, and we had the opportunity to go and experience worship and actually share a little bit at their church that morning. Go to the next slide. There are the kids singing a song to start worship off, and there were at least 100 of them crammed up front in a room that really wasn't just tons bigger than this room. But if you see the next slide, there's about 400 or 500 people crammed in this basement room in some kind of random Presbyterian or Lutheran church in Omaha. And this is one of three churches that the Karen people have in Omaha. This is the Karen Christian Revival Church. Nothing was in English. A lot of them don't speak English. This is where I have to pause and show you a video clip here. So hang on just a second.
You
should recognize two words in this.
Okay,
Change keys there. They came to church expecting? You think so? I think Virgil thinks so. Yeah, some of you did. I mean, there was some excitement. You could cut that excitement with a knife. Now, this is the Corinne Christian Revival Church, made up of people that have emigrated to the U.S., 3,000 of them in the Omaha area, excited about what God's doing in their life. And we were privileged to be part of that. They asked me at the last minute if I would preach. And Paula said that you know, we were kind of translating here, and she said, just something short. So I didn't know what short meant. I went up there, we sang a song, Thane and Thanu played with us, and then I spoke for about 5 to 10 minutes, and the assistant pastor, Nakle, he interpreted for me. It was the first time I ever had the opportunity to actually share and have somebody interpret, so that was kind of a different dynamic to get used to. And then when I was done, they were very gracious, but I think they thought I should have gone longer. I don't know. Part of the deal was we had to get out of here to go over to another church service. Now, I'd asked Thane, I said, how long does your church go? He says, you know, it starts at 11. He said, oh, sometimes 1:32. So when you start getting annoyed at me for going past noon here, just remember that. I told him, well, we have to get out of there because Nang Sen, another young lady that has been attending our church on Sunday nights in Chattern, is from the Kachin tribe, and they have a church at a different place in town called Kachin Baptist. And it was kind of a little bit different service. Not as many people. But we're going to go ahead and do video number two, Rylan. Go ahead and minimize that. Call up video number two. So we went over from the Kieran Christian Revival Church. We kind of snuck out of there, went over to Kachin Baptist. And this is hopefully going to work. And this is... Okay. And so that is a little bit of music. Courtney was kind of getting into the motions there. And the fellow with the sort of cloth on his head was Pastor Gam. And opportunity to go afterwards to a buffet with Nung San and her aunt and some of their extended family and visit more with them. The interesting thing about these two cultures, they were geographically quite separate in the country of Burma at the time. The Karen, in fact, I have a copy of a Karen English New Testament, have their own alphabet or their own language based on symbols, syllable-based symbols. And so the Kachin people did not have their own alphabet. It was a spoken language. And so missionary went in, learned the language, learned the syntax, learned the grammar, transliterated that into a written language using Arabic letters. And so the Kachin people have an alphabet like ours. And the words are spelled phonetically somewhat similar. And so very different cultures, but have kind of been, we have the opportunity to meet them because of their connection to these immigrants in Omaha that have young people they send to Shadron. And so felt like it was time. More and more of them have been graduating off, and pretty soon we're going to lose Thanu and Nung San as well. And so we felt like it was time for us to get down there, see their churches in action, and experience that. Go back to the slideshow real quick, Ryan. There's a couple pictures. Laura took Elena and Courtney to Sunday school class. Go to the first picture. Yeah, right there. And there's a Sunday school class, Elena and Courtney, in the Kachin class with kids, and they didn't really know their language. Elena was like, I don't speak Spanish. And it's okay. So we could go to the next one. And then they would do a little ring around the Rosie game. Elena found a friend in the next picture here. I don't know if the friend was excited about Elena finding her as she was, but anyway. There's another little video clip we can show, Ryland. If you minimize that for me again, just minimize that and call up that little the third video clip of the girls singing a song. You might recognize the tune to this if you listen. Careful, little eyes, what you see. So it was an eventful weekend for us. Busy weekend, a lot of driving, and a real blessing to be part of that. And I wanted to show that because as I talk briefly today, as I cram this sermon into a 10-minute space, talking about worship and the power of expectation, thankful expectation, what we got at these two churches were people that expected a lot. Now, go to the slide, Ryland, right after the kids. There's a picture of us standing there praying for the mayor of Aurora. That one right there. Okay, so last week, after the shootings, some of you aren't familiar with what happened. I'm sure, do all of you know what happened? At the movie theater in Aurora, just miles from where we were staying. We had the opportunity that next morning to pray with the mayor of Aurora. Reason being is on the left, Reed Heddick is the pastor of Centennial Creek Church, and he has since resigned and is going to be planting a church in the inner city of Aurora, in Old Aurora, and has developed a pretty strong relationship with the mayor. He had the mayor scheduled to come speak to our conference about the efforts that Reed and Blaine and crew are going to be doing as they plant this church called Mosaic in the heart of Old Aurora. Well, his reason for coming to speak to us was different than the reason for coming to speak to us that morning. And as Reed was praying for the mayor, as he was going to need wisdom to deal with the tragedy of the shootings from the night before, I was sitting in the front row with the other two guys there, Kevin Goss and Benny Soto, and I looked at Benny and I said, Benny, we need to go up and lay hands on him. He just stood there, just a broken shell of a man. So we went up and surrounded him and wanted to offer him just our support and our prayers. So it was a privilege to be able to be part of that. There's a sense of expectation that Reed and Blaine have, and even that the mayor has, in spite of the tragedy of this effort as they go into the inner city and spread the love of Christ into a hard part of town, working with various agencies and people in that area to bring the love of Christ. And I think that expectation will be rewarded because of what it is that they want God to do. That brings me to what I just want to share with you, and this is going to be quick. So if you grab your pens, you're going to fill in some blanks, and you're going to fill them in fast. Because I don't need to linger on these things, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the words thankful expectation, thankful expectation. The heart of worship. Understand, look, God doesn't need our worship, but we need to purposefully worship him. God doesn't need our worship, but we need to purposely worship him. And it's important for us to come into a scenario like this Sunday morning, for example, with expectation, with a desire to worship God from our hearts, because we need to worship him. Acts 17, 24 and 25 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands." He doesn't live in this building. He's not really interested in hanging out here while we're out in the community living our lives. He wants to be out there with us because we are his temple. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So for me, the words thankful expectation, this is kind of what's been going through my mind over the past few days. And I want you to meditate on that a little bit this week, because for me, it's the heart of worship. It's the heart of our worship. Six things that worship is. Number one, worship is giving God our thanks. It's giving God our thanks. Even when you don't feel like being thankful. I gave Rylan a card for his birthday that said, "Happy birthday." The front of it, it said, what? "Be happy." And then inside it says, "You can be grumpy later." You know, sometimes I have to give my kids a hard time. The reality is we have many reasons to be thankful. In fact, Paul writes this in Philippians 4:4-7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So with that in mind, I want to suggest to you this. Thankfulness and praise and joy, these are attitudes of worship that we choose. If you come to church looking like you just sucked on a lemon or have no expectation and apathy is ruling the day, then you probably won't be disappointed. But if you come together with an attitude of thankfulness, and not just on Sunday morning, but you live your life choosing thankfulness and praise and joy. These are attitudes of worship that we choose, not just for Sunday morning, but for our life. They need to be. Because if you're waiting for somebody to change your attitude, you're going to be waiting a long time. Unless you just want to be crankier, because I guarantee you someone will come along and make you more cranky. So worship is giving God thanks. Worship is a choice then. Worship is a choice. You choose it, whether you feel like it or not. The psalmist knew this when he wrote in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You see, worship shouldn't depend on how we feel or be based on our circumstances. Most of the time, it's totally based on how we feel, at least from our mindset or our own circumstances, but that's not where it should come from. We worship God because he deserves our praise, not because we feel like it and not because circumstances allow us to. We worship God because he deserves our praise. Go ahead to the next slide. Yeah, worship shouldn't depend on how we feel or be based on our circumstances. We worship him because he deserves our praise. Plowing through here. Worship is giving God thanks. Worship is a choice. Worship invites God's presence. God likes to be invited, and when he is invited, he comes. He promises that. He says, "Whenever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of us." Psalm 22:3 puts it this way, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." It's like when we get together as a church and we praise him, it's like God enters the scene enthroned on our praises. We have an enemy who believes he is the ruler of this world, and we have a savior who has taken that power away from him. And so who's on the throne? Who's in control? When we worship God, we say, God, we recognize you as our Lord. We recognize you as our savior. With that in mind, worship is also spiritual warfare. It is. Because again, Satan has had much control on this planet for far too much time. And Jesus has turned around and given us authority over him. And so John 12, 31 and 34 says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. You see, worship does all kinds of damage to the enemy and to the kingdom of darkness. The enemy will try to keep us from worshiping when we don't feel like it, when that's the best thing that we can do. The enemy will try to keep us from worshiping because our circumstances don't make it easy. Oh, I'm too busy. I woke up too late. My hair didn't work. You know, what? The reality is worship is a powerful thing. Also, because of this, worship gets our focus off of our problems and ourselves and back onto the one who has the wisdom and the solutions and the answers to all of these things that we're struggling with right now. Our tendency is to get wrapped up and trying to figure out stuff, and God's like, just come to me. Just come to me. Let's go back to Philippians 4, read a little farther, 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, there's that word again, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We choose our focus, and when we worship God, we get our eyes off of us and our situation and onto God, who can help guide us through what it is that we're going through. And then finally this, worship should involve expectation. And what should we expect? Not because we demand it, but because God's promised it. We should expect God to show up. Because he wants to. We should expect God to defeat the enemy because he wants to. We should expect God to show us the way because that's what he wants to do. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Do you know the word hope in the New Testament? Go to the next slide. Hope in the New Testament literally means to expect or trust. When we say our hope is in the Lord, it's not wishful thinking. It's not crossing your fingers. There's a sense where we know the God that we believe in and we hope in him because we trust and expect him to do good things because he said he would. And the reality is I wanted to share all this with you today because we went to two churches where none of the worship was in English. And it didn't matter because the people that came expected God to do good things and they'd never left disappointed. We were in a community last week that is experiencing the pain and the tragedy of 12 lives lost because of the senseless act of a madman with weapons in a movie theater. And a lot of people are asking why, and a lot of people are in church this weekend because they don't have answers. And we've got people placed in that community who have been planning to plant a church in that community and have built relationships and have begun sowing the seeds of hope. And they are expecting God to move and to heal the hurting and to mend the broken. There's only so much I can do. When we come here together, in this community, in our worship services, if we're not expecting together, and we're not expecting God to move and expecting God to do great things together, if you don't come on Sundays expecting to learn and to grow, I can't make that happen. God is doing things in different places. He's moving. He's working in people's lives. I've seen him do things here and there. But I want to see the hand of God move in our community in a way that I don't think we've seen for a long time. That's not something that any of us can make happen. But I guarantee you, if I'm the only one dragging myself here on Sunday morning expecting anything, the collective effort that I put into it is going to meet against the wall of apathy that this town seems to throw in front of many of us. And I guarantee you nothing will happen. Because God moves where he's expected to move, where people want him to move, where people want to see him work. Expect. And if it's not there, go to him. Say, God, ignite the passion in my heart to expect you to do something, even in our town. Let's pray together. Father, you are a God that is on the move around the world in places that we don't even know about. But God, we're hungry to see you do a work here. And I pray, God, you would help fan to flame in our hearts the desire for more, the desire for something beyond the status quo. We don't want to be okay with just okay. We don't desire to get by. God, we want your spirit to sweep across our town, to sweep across this part of our state and up into South Dakota and across the reservation, God. We want to see people's lives changed and delivered and transformed by your power in ways that can only happen when your spirit is allowed to move in the way that you desire to move. So God, we hungrily expect. We're thirsty for your reign. Not just physically, but spiritually, God. Our desire is for your spirit to change lives and to transform. Not just individual people, but our community, God, from the inside out. And we know that it starts with us. So we thank you for the promise and we thank you for the hope in which we can place our trust and expect you to do great things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, expect. All right.